through changes. Changes we go through. We go through changes. Changes we go through. We go through changes. Changes we go through.
Black and white communication in the Twin Cities. Good evening. This is R.A.P., and I'm Benji McKay. On this evening's program, Sister Katie McWatt, Associate Director of the St. Paul Urban League.
First of all, Katie, I'd like to thank you for your time again, and could you kind of begin by talking about what your role is as the Associate Director of the St. Paul Urban League?
Well, my special area is community services, and within that area, I'm responsible for social welfare issues, for educational issues or programs and services, for what we might do in the area of criminal justice. And generally, then I also do some direct service with people who do come into the league for help in those several areas.
What are some of these areas that you try to cover as far as being a voice or a liaison between the community and what the system has available?
I think that one of the areas that constantly causes problems for people, particularly people who are not working, is the whole question of public welfare and public assistance, and whether it is people receiving aid to families with dependent children, or whether it's general assistance for single people who are without jobs, etc., that this is an area that is both confusing for many people, is often punitive for many people, and is constantly being tinkered with by many people. So that the whole question of the public welfare system is one that needs to be resolved. One of the things that we were interested in this year has been the whole question of, quote, welfare fraud, and what that really means. And what we found here at the league was that many people were coming in to see us because their checks had been held up or suspended, and that after, when that happened, they also were being asked to go down to, at that time, down to the Ramsey County Welfare Department and be questioned by people in that particular, quote, fraud unit. So what I'm saying is there are often honest mistakes, but with the people coming into us, we found that there seemed to be little room for honest mistakes, and that checks were being held up rather arbitrarily, and there's no need to tell anyone what it means if your basic income, that check, is not delivered to you. If you don't get that check, what that means in terms of your family income, because it means so much to the people who finally receive the check.
Any other programs that you have here at the St. Paul Urban League to help people in the neighborhood combat the system, say like a liaisons between you and the police department or something on that order?
My department has not been looked on, I think, as a liaison with, the police department. I think that we've often challenged the police department in terms of its approach to problems in the neighborhood, particularly their use of search and seizure ordinance and how they really do enforce that. And that kind of ordinance affects young people particularly, I guess. And I think that what we see here and in all parts of the Urban League probably is that dilemma that black people, Chicanos, and possibly Native Americans have, and that is one wants protection, but one doesn't want to be overwhelmed with law enforcement officers. And how do you get a balance there seems to be the problem. Many of the problems come to me and to other staff of the Urban League from people who drop in. So in some ways you can say that, well, we have some basic programs, and for instance, you know, we have LEAP, which is an apprenticeship program, and OJT, which is on-the-job training. We have a housing department, which tries to help with housing problems. And then you have community services trying to do things in several areas. And while we may have those programs or actions, we still depend a great deal on people who come to us and say, this is what's really troubling us on our street, you know, this month or for the past 6 months. This is really what's happening to us. And that in some ways can complicate your job, but I think it's very important, because we could be running a fantastic, in our opinion, program in education. You know, we could say that this is a fantastic program we have, and find that it's not meeting the needs of people. And so it's very important, I think, that we continue to do some arranged programming, but that we also have latitude to hear people and never get too busy, that you cannot stop to talk to someone who comes in and says, I'm going to lose my job tomorrow morning. I think I've been discriminated against. What shall I do? Or someone's going to take my children away from me. What should I do? What is that whole system of child protection, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Would you say then that research on the Urban League's part plays an important role in how potent your initial goal is?
Right, I would. I think that not only formal research, which we're going to be doing again this year, well, next month, another survey, and where we take a random sampling of people in the neighborhood and ask them some questions. So I think one of the roles that all of us serve, and I certainly do, is an advocate for people, which can mean that I might be going to an elementary school to talk with parents and maybe a few other people to talk to the administration about some incident in the school which involves that parent's child, or I might be going to Ramsey County Welfare and saying, you know, where is that woman's check? She must have it. Or what social services do you have for this person who appears to be ill? You know, it's emotionally disturbed, and why aren't those services readily available to this person?
Mrs. McWatt, outside of the obvious, what are your more or less credentials or background for working in urban affairs?
Well, I think, I don't know if it's a credential, but I can talk about that a bit more, but I surely think that an attitude which reflects persistence is very important for anyone in any of the human services, or anyone who's interested in change movements and thinks that the world is not totally a correct place for many people, and there are many inequities. And I certainly think that people have suggested that I'm persistent. I feel I am. And I think you have to be if you're really going to make some difference, either for individual persons or for a community. And I think beyond that I have worked with the League, been, you know, staff in the League for 10 years. And prior to that, worked for the Minnesota Employment Service in their Youth Opportunity Center, which was an attempt to help youngsters in vocational choices and find jobs. And then I'm a graduate of the University of Minnesota. I've had some graduate work in social work and in counseling and guidance. But even more than those, that experience, I think, has been the opportunity I've had. Which might have started in working in such organizations as the League of Women Voters and so forth, that gave me an opportunity to experience trying to work for change in various ways. And I've been a lobbyist at the state legislature and lobbied for fair housing some years ago and things like that, and have chaired Mayor's Committee on Minority Housing. So it's I've really been fortunate to have an opportunity to be in certain places at different times during the struggle. And that's, you know, I really appreciate that. And I think from that, you get a real, some more understanding of what it is that you have to do and how long it's going to take, and some of the and you get a chance to try out different tools and mechanisms for change. They don't all you don't always sit down and plan everything. If you have, I think if you have a goal, right, and you say, so a community forum might be useful to educate people, but what's the next step and the next step and the next step? And so so all of those things, some actual experience and having an opportunity to be involved in variety of areas has been very helpful. And I don't know whether that's a credential or not, but it's been good for me.
With your extensive background, are there any basic necessities that you feel have to exist between, say, the people and the system, or us and them, or however, to make a more consistent flow of understanding and possibly a better future for everybody?
Well, that's a good question. I guess that first, yeah, well, I think first of all that one has to really understand that for many people, and for particularly Blacks, Chicanos, Native Americans, poor people, that it is going to be a struggle. That's repetitious because many people say that, but it's one thing to conceive of a struggle. It's another to realize that you really are in it. A struggle means there are two opposing forces, I think. And so if I had to ramble on, I guess if I had any suggestions about improving things or whatever, it would be to say that first of all, paramount of all, one has to understand that it truly is a struggle, and that struggles demand some special things from people. Some staying power, some willingness to stay a while in a particular area to solve it. It takes all of our brains, a pool together sometimes to work things out, and so all those things, you know, you've got to stay with them as long as people who oppose you are willing to do it.
Katie McWatt, Associate Director of the St. Paul Urban League, I'd really like to thank you for your time and very interesting comments.
Thank you very much, Ben. I enjoyed it.
Black and White Communication in the Twin Cities. Good evening. This is RAP, and I'm Benji Mackay.
Be not dismayed. Whoa.